As the global COVID-19 pandemic has dominated the news, other public health issues have seemingly fallen through the cracks, including the ongoing opioid crisis. Opioid drugs include prescription painkillers like Oxycontin and illegal narcotics like heroin. These drugs have the capacity to become highly addictive, and for a period of time, many overdose deaths have been attributed to these opioids. But what's happening with the opioid crisis now as our attention is turned to fighting the novel coronavirus? Our next guest joins us to talk about the challenges facing doctors and patients seeking help with addiction during a pandemic. Dr. Chris Eberlein is an emergency physician at Gunderson Health System based in La Crosse. Dr. Eberlein, welcome back to Central Time.
Well, thank you, and thanks for having me today.
What kind of changes have you seen over the last couple months during this COVID-19 outbreak as far as how it might affect treatment for addiction?
Well, I think the most concerning part is we've seen locally here in La Crosse County, a 63% increase year to date in deaths contributed to overdoses. And I think that's really due to a multitude of factors, including the fear and anxiety, depression, and everyone in general, especially those that struggle with their mental health issues that even prior to the pandemic. But additionally, you know, economic losses, social isolation, and those need increased social support that they're not getting.
How about access to treatment? Is it harder for people who might have had some kind of treatment program, whether that's a, you know, a group counseling session or individual appointments? Is it harder for them to get to that kind of help?
Yeah, I think that's for sure been something we've been seeing as well. As a lot of patients have been going to virtual visits, some of these patients don't have that ability for cost and, you know, technology. And a lot of their regular routine visits were canceled. So I think these are all playing a role in the increased overdoses.
Before the pandemic outbreak, what were we seeing when it came to trends with addiction to opioids here in Wisconsin?
Well, locally in La Crosse, we actually had a downward trend. We were down to 22 deaths in 2019, and that was been steadily going down over the last 4 or 5 years. So this is a definite change in what we had been seeing.
What kind of resources would you point people toward right now if someone is out there listening, saying, hey, I or a loved one need help with this?
Well, I think people have to realize that you can still seek professional help as you need it. The openings in clinics are there. They're coming back online now. The virtual visits are available. And obviously, if you have a crisis in mental health or addiction, you need to go to the emergency care. And please don't hesitate to seek out your emergency department. The healthcare systems really do have safety in place for COVID patients, so we can take care of all patients.
Talking to Dr. Chris Eberlein from Gunderson Health System. He's an emergency physician there, and he's worked on issues related to opioid addictions. Dr. Eberlein, I want to follow up on that point. I've heard from guests on this show and elsewhere this concern that people with acute medical conditions, whether related to addiction or mental health or signs of stroke or heart attack, some people might be worried about going to their emergency room when they need it. Your message, it sounds like, is the same as their message. If you need emergency help, seek it.
For sure. You shouldn't hesitate. If you're having an emergency or seek and need emergency care, don't hesitate. We are able to take care of all patients right now.
Now, getting back to opioids in particular, a lot of the story a while back was prescription medications. And then we also heard about, you know, off-label or illegal use of those prescription medications and then people turning to heroin. What are some of the latest things you have seen when it comes to how people are getting these opioids?
Yeah, we've definitely seen a switch from prescription drugs to more of the illicit fentanyl, even fentanyl more than heroin, at least locally. And the prescription drug abuse has gone down quite a bit in the last few years. And I think that's largely contributed to the PDMP and better prescribing practices. But that has caused a shift as that supply has dried up to patients seeking out the other illicit drugs, in particular fentanyl, because that's become cheaper and more widely available.
And when it comes to overdose deaths, my understanding, Dr. Eberlein, is that fentanyl in particular is particularly risky, along with heroin for that matter, because from one dose to another, people just don't know how strong a dose they're getting. Is that still true?
That is still true. You know, each time that these patients use these drugs, they really don't know the quality of drug, how much drug is actually in that dose. You know, they're not getting it from your routine pharmacist. So these are not drugs that you can know what you're really getting. I've had patients that have thought they were using meth and it was heroin or fentanyl, and so they weren't even ready for that type of overdose. So we've been seeing that kind of mix as well.
What do we know about effective treatments for people who are trying to end or control an opioid addiction?
Well, you know, no treatment typically is the same for each patient. Everyone needs a little bit of tailored care in this disease. And so there is, counseling is very important, obviously. You can't do that without. And then you've got medication-assisted treatments as well. And all these have been shown to be effective. But you've got to really seek out someone who can work with you and get you on the proper treatment program.
When it comes to access to these kind of treatments, and again, people might have to move from one to another before they find the one that's effective for them. Do we have enough? Do we have enough access to the methadone and similar products and counseling services and things like that?
Yeah, access has always been an issue. And we've really expanded access in the last couple of years, but it is still something that we struggle with, getting patients in a timely manner. So when I think of access, I think of, if it's your day to get sober, you can call and get an appointment and get treated that day. We're not to the point yet where that is universal for all of our patients. We're getting close, but we're not there yet.
Now, COVID-19, it's a real deal. It's a real problem. But are you concerned that we're taking our eye off the ball as we look at this one big public health emergency and maybe are overlooking this other serious public health problem?
That's always a concern. And, and like I said, I think that COVID has thrown a lot of curveballs at the medical system in general. So we really have to keep looking at ways that we don't let patients fall through the cracks. And as clinic visits get back online, more virtual visits, I think there's opportunities to get all these patients seen in a timely manner. These are really vulnerable patients, and it's something that we really have to keep working at to make sure that they don't fall through the cracks.
Dr. Chris Eberlein is with us, an emergency physician at Gunderson Health System based in La Crosse. He's with us to talk about the opioid crisis and how, as a public health issue, may have fallen through the cracks during the coronavirus pandemic. You can join us at 800-642-1234. What do you want to know about the opioid crisis? If you have a personal story to share as someone who sought treatment yourself or have a loved one who is seeking treatment now, let us know how it's going for you. If you work on the treatment side of things, love to hear from you as well. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about the opioid crisis and the impact COVID-19 is having on doctors and patients. Dr. Chris Eberlein is with us, emergency physician at Gunderson Health System based in La Crosse. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a question about the opioid crisis and treatment here in Wisconsin? What do you want to know about how doctors and patients are handling it during the COVID-19 outbreak? And if you have a story to share, either your own or someone in your family of seeking treatment, is it more difficult now with concerns over the virus? Or if you're in on the treatment side of things yourself, you can also join in. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Dr. Eberlein, we've talked to you in the past about methamphetamine as well, and different communities around the state have different levels of problems with opioids versus meth. What are you seeing with that in the last few months?
Yeah, meth has been a constant struggle for the whole state, and in particular our region as well. The amount of meth that we see is fairly constant. It's been there all along. We see it often mixed with fentanyl and other opioids on the toxicology reports of those that have overdosed. So we know that there's a lot of mixing of these drugs. Whether the addict actually knows that they're getting meth and they thought they were just getting fentanyl or heroin, that really needs to be seen.
We've seen, getting back to opioids in particular now, over the years here in Wisconsin, packages of legislation aimed at providing help with dealing with the opioid epidemic. We recently had another of what's been called the HOPE agenda. What kind of changes have you seen over the years here in Wisconsin at the state level that might be making a difference here?
We've done a lot in the state, and I really commend the whole state for what they've done on this epidemic of opiate abuse. But some of the biggest things we've done is supporting our PDMP and making sure that we're not giving too many prescriptions. Because we knew at the beginning of this that 80% of heroin addicts were starting with prescription drugs. So we fixed that by having the PDMP where everyone puts in, it's basically a registry of all prescription drugs. So a provider can look up and see where the patient's been getting drugs from as far as prescription drugs go. And the other things they've been supporting, MAT, drug take-back days have been huge, getting them out of our houses. And the needle exchange programs have been very helpful in distributing Narcan, which has also been obviously a life-saving drug, getting that out in the communities as well.
And we've talked in the past about the critical moment when someone who's maybe been addicted to prescription medications, maybe obtained legally at first, illegally after, when that supply is cut off, do we have interventions at that moment to make sure they get some kind of treatment and don't end up looking for the fentanyls or the heroines on the street?
Yeah, we're definitely working towards that end. Like I said, we want to get it to the point, the perfect system is when that patient wants to get help, you can get help that moment. Some communities are very close, some have it depending on the day, but is not a universal across the state that we have that ability. So that is the ideal scenario. And not only getting the treatment you need, whether it be MAT or counseling, but the social support too. Because a lot of these patients, you know, whether it be your underlying mental health, you know, the living scenario you're in. So we don't want them to get sober and go right back to that same routine, same friends, same environment that really sets these patients up for failure. And we want to break that cycle as well.
How is social distancing affecting all of this? You mentioned that the feeling of isolation could be exacerbating mental health problems that might make an overdose more likely. Is it, and maybe it's too soon to tell, or maybe this isn't being tracked, is it disrupting the flow of these medications? Is it disrupting networks of distribution?
Well, unfortunately, looking at the overdose deaths, I don't think it's affecting distribution of illicit drugs. But I do think it is affecting some of the social support some of these patients need. In addition, looking at the number of overdoses we're seeing that weren't given Narcan, I also worry that more patients are utilizing their drugs alone and not using a buddy system. So no one's there to give them Narcan if they overdose.
Hmm. Are you seeing any public health efforts to try to overcome that? I don't know what that would be, but to try to make sure people aren't left alone and have access to Narcan if needed.
Yeah, we're trying to get that message out. We've distributed a lot of Narcan throughout the state, and so Narcan is available, but the patient has to seek it out. So to encourage them to continue to seek that out and to continue to use as safe as you can use some of these drugs. You know, they're not safe drugs to begin with, but having someone else there, knowing what you're using, and available to call 911 and give you Narcan is really important.
I wanted to talk to you a little bit about your capacity as an emergency physician, a little bit out above and beyond the opioid addiction issue. What kind of things are we seeing in emergency rooms in the area? Are you seeing that those unexpected absences of the people showing up with symptoms because people are avoiding emergency rooms during COVID-19?
Yeah, there has been nationally and locally a reduction in patients coming in to seek care, whether that be in urgent care or emergency departments, and obviously in their primary care as well. And whenever you get that, you end up having patients that have chronic disease that end up in an acute crisis. And so what we're seeing is lower volumes but higher acuity. Now, nationally, you're seeing some areas that are having 50 to 80% increase in out-of-hospital cardiac arrests because patients aren't coming in. Fortunately, at least in the La Crosse area that I track, our numbers have not been that dramatic, although in the last month we have had more heart attacks. They have not died, but people coming in with what we call ST elevation myocardial infarctions, those that have to go directly to the heart catheterization lab. So we usually see a few a month. In April, we actually saw almost double what we normally see. So that is a concerning trend. The numbers aren't huge, so it's hard to make a statistical analysis on that, but definitely something we're watching.
Can you leave us with, in our last minute or so, a message for people? What kind of symptoms, especially when it comes to those heart, cardiac, stroke issues, what kind of symptoms should get them to the emergency room right away?
Yeah, anytime you're having any chest pain or any neurological complaints, whether it be difficulty speaking or weakness, anything that you would have thought that was an emergency prior to COVID, it is still an emergency. And do not delay seeking care because you're afraid of the virus. This is something that we have great, robust policies and procedures in place to protect all of our patients. We also protect our staff. So your risk of having a complication from that emergent medical crisis is much higher than the risk of the virus.
Dr. Eberlein, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you. You have a great day.
You too. That's Dr. Chris Eberlein, emergency physician at Gunderson Health System based in La Crosse. He joins today to talk about a couple things, the ongoing opioid crisis in Wisconsin, how it's become more complicated during the COVID-19 outbreak, and also with some general messages on emergency treatment here in Wisconsin.